people have an agenda. They want everything to be electrical. And then you see later on how much electricity will be, we will have to pay. So it's always somebody's greedy out there. And it plays with all of us. And sometimes people have to collect coins and collect more money, because they don't say in God we trust. They end up putting an L over there, and they say now it's in gold we trust. I don't know how many of you have seen commercials on television that says, you know, inflation, buy gold. So they want your inflation to increase because they want you to buy something from them. Now, the title for the message today that we have is, as you see in your bulletin, it says, I want to give. And very appropriate, sisters, to bring the music. It's about grace. Grace is not only about giving, but grace is also about receiving. There's both aspects of grace. And to some extent, we'll be talking in some ways about grace as well. I want to give. How many of you want to give? You won't be able to give unless you come to church. And that's why, and what I'm saying is that when you're in church, you're already expressing that you want to give. Some people come to church because they want to receive only. But it's not possible for you, and you have heard me saying this before, it's not possible for you. I'll say this, it's impossible for any human being always only to receive. Yes, there are some, if you see some houses, some people, the way they live, looks like they have never given anything out. They always receive. And they keep bringing things at home. Pretty soon, they have to leave the home because they cannot fit in. There are so many stuff inside their home. Some people, they do the same thing with their lives. They bring in. We need to give. Every time you give, you find room in your hand to receive. What happens when you keep your hand occupied with something that you have? You have no ability to receive. And that is the danger of sometimes to grow too tight to things that we have, things that we cannot give. We put a map. I don't know how well you can see from way back there. Brother Mike, can you see well the map? I put a color. In Jericho, I put a green. That's when Jesus Christ, this story starts. And of course, Jesus' journey is supposed to go all the way to Jerusalem. This is his last journey. I put a picture here for you to realize more or less what he was traveling. Jericho is 850 feet below sea level. I put a line of their sea level. And then you go up. Jerusalem is 2,500 above sea level. So you add 2,500 with 850. You see that over 3,000 feet he has to climb. So I put a statement of this down there. Jesus was climbing the road to Calvary. Why? Why was he going to Calvary? Because many, many years later, close to 2,000 years later, somebody will be sitting in a visited church relying on that journey of his. And so he took that journey because of you today. He was willing to give. His disciples, remember, just before he got into Jericho, he said, the Son of Man is going to climb. I'm going to Jerusalem. And up there, I'm going to be arrested. They say, oh, by the way, I just remember, I left my microwave on. I have to go back. They all, of course, kids, you know that they didn't have microwave in those days. Now, they found excuses. And by the way, sadly today, people have a lot of excuses not to come to church also. They always are preoccupied, occupied with something that takes them away from the journey to where they're supposed to be. And so Jesus climbed all this just to be on top of there to die for you. I don't know if you can see, but I put Jesus in on the cross right there on the top of the mountain. And this was the journey. So before he got the beginning, he decided to go through Jericho. That was a place that he had to pass through. How many of you are familiar with this expression in English? Right? You hear this, right? Going out on a limb. Now, climbing a tree and going just a bit further out than you are comfortable going. And if you Google this in the images, you see people living a very risky life. As a symbol, they climb a tree, a very tall tree, and they go to the limb. And maybe there's a fruit that they want to reach. They keep going until there is a risk of the limb breaking and they break their neck too. So this is the expression. It says going out on a limb, meaning put yourself at risk for something that you want to do. Maybe going outside of your comfort zone. How many of us sometimes have been put in situations that we are, you know, we have to stand up for what we believe, even though it's not very comfortable, but we have to. To put oneself in an isolated position in one support or someone or something or a cause. How many times you have to stand up to defend what you believe? That is going out on a limb sometimes. Taking a risk. There is no decision that is worth eternal life if there's no risk involved. Let me repeat. There's no reward if there's no risk. Everything that ends up with reward, there is an element of risk. Now, you know who that individual is there, right? Zacchaeus. Now, we're going to be studying Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. That is where the message is based today. There is Zacchaeus and the tree. They said sycamore tree. And Jesus in the multitude. Let's see what Dr. Luke shared. He's the only one who tells us this story. But it's a very unique story. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Notice that he says he passed through. His intent was not to stay in Jericho. His intent was just to pass on and go on. Because he was traveling, I believe, with his mother, with his aunt, with his sisters. There's no reference to his brothers. I don't know that his brothers, if they were also traveling with him, because this was a trip to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So this was an event that Jesus did many times. And most of the times they travel with family. It was a means of protection. And so how do I know that the mother was there and the sister was there? Because when it talks about the crucifixion, it mentions them. It mentions aunt, mentioned his sisters. Now it does not mention his brothers. But there is a possibility they also travel to be together at that moment. And so here is Jesus with his disciples and his family, immediate family traveling. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief tax collector. In other words, he had a label that nobody liked. And by the way, 2,000 years later, and we still don't like tax collectors. I don't know about you, but they are unique. They come and they get. And they remind us that the house where we live doesn't really belong to us. Have you noticed that we pay, and then we realize actually the house is not really ours? If you want to find out who owns the house, you skip one or two payments. And then you're going to realize. Or if you decide to just dig a hole in front of your house, start digging a hole. Pretty soon somebody will come and say, do you got a permit to do this? The foolishness of this life. We think that we own things when we don't. And I mentioned this before, even the cars that we drive, try to drive your car without California giving you permission to drive your car. And you see what happened. So we own nothing this life. You know, it's all foolishness. We are so greedy sometimes, we think that I need more, I need more. The realization is that we don't own anything. Not even the life that we have is ours. So we do need grace. It says that he was a chief tax collector, a chief, not just a chief. And because of that, he was rich. Now, poor people, they don't like those that take money away from them. And especially when it makes them rich, the one who takes the money from you. And he was rich. Now, he was not very old, for what I noticed here, because he climbed the tree. It doesn't say that he needs some help to climb. He says, also he says, we run. So he was a middle-aged man and already promoted to be a chief. So he had many people working for him. And he sought to see Jesus, who Jesus was. This was, here the verb was, were to be the past tense. It tells me that he heard about Jesus. He heard many times, but he never had met Jesus personally. So he wants to check out, who is this individual that everybody's talking about, that perform miracles, that says that even people like me can be saved. I want to meet somebody like that. Everybody's saying that I'm lost, I'm a sinner, I'm no good. But this individual says that I can be saved. I want to check out who he is. When I became Seventh-day Adventist, I want to check out the church. When I read the Bible and I realized that everything that the church was teaching was exactly what I found in the Bible, I said, I want to be part of this church. So Zacchaeus says, you know what? I want to know, I want to meet this guy. I want to find out who he is. I wonder how many people are coming to church and still have not seen Jesus. Or at least they have an image of Jesus, but maybe it's not the real one. And that's why Jesus passed by them and they don't recognize, because they have the wrong picture on their pocket. But could not. Why? Because of the cloud. Remember last week we talked about that individual that was blind, Bartimaeus. You know who was blocking his path? He has the same group. You know how many people are not in church today because the cloud is keeping them away from church? Who is the cloud? Because he was short. How many of you here are over 6 feet tall? No, I'm not. We all short, according to some people's description. If somebody's over 6, he can look at us, you're short. If they are 7, we say, you are too tall. I'm not short. You're the one who's too tall. But we all have been short because sin. And we're shrinking. I think the Lord has to come, because if he doesn't come pretty soon, we're going to be this tall. Humanity, we're shrinking. Remember how tall Adam and Eve were when they were created? And look how we keep shrinking. So he was short. And you know, when a person has a problem of being, especially men, if we are too short, sometimes it bothers us a little bit. I have talked to some people, they always have something to prove. because it looks like because of they were short, they have to work a little harder to prove every single, so they're always hard. And when there was a game, he was the last one to be chosen because he was too short. And so people that have short stature, sometimes they have to work harder to prove themselves. And it says that, so he ran ahead. He tried to get in to see Jesus, but the cloud blocked the path. Notice one thing that he did, and I hope that we learn this lesson with this man. When something is difficult, it is not an invitation for you to give up. When something is difficult but it's worth looking for, don't give up. Don't look, oh, I'm short, this is not going to work. Or I'm saying, find any excuse to stop. He said, I would not stop. And that's what probably made him a chief. Because he had a quality. He had persistence. And for you to lead, you need to have persistence. And God has chosen us as his holy people to lead the world into light. We are not supposed to be followers of the world. We're supposed to lead the world into Christ. So he ran ahead. He says, okay, cloud, you may block me here, but I'm going to go ahead of you, and I will find a way to get rid of you, to get rid of this inconvenience that you're causing because you blocked me from an opportunity to see this man. And he climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, but he didn't choose any tree. You see, there was a plan. He ran, but he had a plan. He says, I'm going to run in a direction where Christ is going to come to. He didn't say, I'm going to run any direction. He says, there is a path that he's going to take. I want to be in his path. He's a man seeking for the way, and here comes the way. I am the way, Jesus Christ says, for he was going to pass that way. So the way was in the right way, and so Zacchaeus wants to be there. Now, and when Jesus came to the place that now became a sanctuary for him, a place where he's going to meet Jesus Christ, he says, when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him. Now, he looked up. In order to compensate the fact that he was short, he put himself where he could be seen. Now, how many of you here got the idea that everybody was laughing at that time? The crowd when saw that short man on the tree. Do you have the same impression that I have? I had the impression that they were laughing. Now the crowd was laughing. And you know why they say the one who laughs less, laughs better. And they were laughing at him because first they blocked him from see Jesus. Now he says, okay, I'm smarter than you. I'll find a way to beat you. And now he was there, ready to see Jesus. And they laugh. Luke did not say that they laughed, but I assume they did. Because you see, as Luke continued, what kind of a people were these people? He says, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. Huh. He did not know who Jesus was, but Zacchaeus did not know that Jesus knew who he was because he says, Zacchaeus. And you know, it's very touching when you want to meet someone and the person surprises you by knowing already who you are. I remember once I went to Brazil as a mission trip, and when I was in a Miami airport waiting for my flight, I saw an individual that I only knew him by seeing him on television. I like Formula One car race. I watch as when I have opportunity, I watch. And there was this individual, Emerson Fittipaldi. He was world champion twice, and he was Indy champion a few times. And there is the man. I couldn't believe him. There is the man. So I have my son was a little boy at that time, and I took my address and said, would you sign here because I like to give this to my son. He said, oh, yes. And what's your name? And he was very, very open to, I didn't say, hey, would you? No, I just said, hi. He said, hi. Would you sign this for my son? He did. I have no idea where we put that hat. But the fact that is that I saw that individual so many times. Very popular, known around the world, the individual. And that he took the time just to grant a signature for a total stranger. Now, imagine when Jesus, the big star, tells Zacchaeus, and says, hurry up and come down. People start saying, does he not know who this guy is? Why is he even talking to him? For today, I must stay in your house. I want you to, if you have your Bible, underline this sentence. And please read this to yourself. Imagine Jesus is speaking to you today and say, today, Donia, I must stay in your house. Can you imagine hearing this from Jesus Christ today? What about you, Brother Noah? Today, I must stay in your house. What about you, my Brother Donald? Today, I must be in your house. This is what Jesus Christ is saying to all of us, each individual that I came here today. I must. He didn't say, I want. He did not give this individual a choice. Why? Because he already knew his choice. The fact that he was there trying desperate to see, he says, I know already what Zacchaeus needs. I know already what he wants. So he said, this is no longer an option. I must, because you have a need for me and I have a need. I have something special to deliver to you. I must go to your house. By the way, is your house ready to receive Jesus? Have you noticed when somebody says, oh, by the way, I want to pass by your house. Is that okay? And you tell your wife and you say, oh, let's make everything clean. Let's vacuum here. Let's do this. Let's kick the dog out. So we have to make sure that everything is ready for this person to arrive. I'll be there in half an hour. The shorter the period, the harder you have to work to make sure that the house is clean. And open a closet, push things there, and hope that when the visitor comes, don't touch that closet. I must stay in your house. You know, because you know that he's coming, why don't you make sure that your house is always ready for when he arrives at your door? Is very important, brothers and sisters. So he, Zacchaeus, hurried and came down. He ran to get to the tree. He came down fast. He's fast. Why he's so fast about everything? Because that was the last time that Jesus was passing through. It was the last opportunity he had in his life. He heard many times people laughing at him because he was short. He heard many times people criticize him, call him a sinner, a lost. There's no hope for you. You are lost. And they use words that we cannot use. A very demeaning, always attacking his character. Implying that just because you collect tax, you are a thief. So, tax collector was synonymous of thief. you are a bad individual. We have to put up with you because there is the soldier, Roman soldiers around you, because if you were not for them, we will get rid of your type. They could not go to church. They could not go to some meetings. They were despised by everyone because of what they did. And received him, Jesus, joyfully. Oh, he's come to my house. Oh, no, I have to do all that cleaning. Oh, no. Can we postpone? Do you want to postpone Jesus coming to your house? And he received him joyfully. But when they saw, who is there? Who are they here? The cloud. They blocked his path, and now that it didn't work. Their trick didn't work. Now they're going to go to attack again. Look what they did. They all complaining. Jesus is ours. Jesus doesn't belong to people like him. And they say, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And they know that what they just said is a sin. By the way, some of you may not know, but there are in the Bible 7 definitions of sin. There are 7 definitions of sin. One of them says discrimination. In any ground, by color, by race, by age, discrimination of any kind, it is sin. And they show clearly that they would discriminate against him. Because he had an office, he had a responsibility, and they hate him, and they call him a sinner, just because he was a tax collector. Chief. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, remember, he heard the accusation. These people, they were not invited into the house. But I have no doubt that when Jesus was there inside with his disciple, his mother, everybody, and Zacchaeus, they set a beautiful table for them to Jesus to sit, a place of honor. They were in the window, and they were talking loud. So Jesus heard, and so did Zacchaeus hear what they said. So Zacchaeus, in response, he stood up. And by the way, I can imagine him stand up on the top of his table because he wanted everybody to hear him. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. In some verses, says, I will give half of my wealth, half of everything that I have. I will mortgage my house. I will sell my house. Everything that I have, half. Today, I invest half what I have to those that need more than I do. I have been a Seventh-day Adventist for quite a few years. I have not met one person yet that when they were baptized, they offer half what they have. Unless they had only a dollar. That was easy. But this individual, he took all his life in preparation to get his wealth. In one single moment, he realized that he found something more precious than all the junk that he had in his house. He realized that what I found now is more precious than all the things that I have. Because the things that I have may make me comfortable in this life, but very uncomfortable the next. But what I found is guaranteed me mansions, a fortune, something so precious that I will never lose ever. So yes, I'm going to give half of what I have, if that's what it takes. And if I read some in preparation to speak to you today, I read some commentaries. And I was surprised that when they read this part that we're going to put there, that the if, they assumed that he was at the meeting that he was a cheater. read your version, whatever version you have, you notice that no, he did not admit that he was doing something wrong. He said, if it's a condition, if anybody comes and show to me that I have done something wrong, that I have cheated them on their taxes, I have done something that I was not supposed to do, I abused my authority, this is what I'm going to do. I have taken anything from anybody, in this version he says, with a false accusation, but actually it means if I have cheated them any way possible, I restore fourfold. By the way, there is no repentance, there's no conversion without restitution. Do you all understand what I just said? I mean, did you understand what I just said? That's correct English. All right. I'm going to repeat. There is no conversion. There is no new life unless there is restitution. Every time that you decide to become a new person in life is not where you start the journey. You have to make sure that you have no harm done to anybody behind you. You take care of things. If I have harmed somebody for some reason, I made a decision and I knew what I was doing, and that was not honest, was dishonest, what I must do, I must pay back. In his case, it says fourfold. It is very important. If you took from somebody $10, how much should you give back? 40, right? No. You have to give, Brother Danny, he put 5. You should give 50. The person's, the $10 back, plus 4. So give to the person 50. Do you know why you should do that? Because next time you're tempted to get something, you say, oh, it's going to cost me a lot. That is the message. If it doesn't hurt you because you hurt somebody, then you don't have the right feeling of what is grace all about. You need to give back what belongs to somebody else. And Jesus said to him, today, when? Yesterday, a day before, today. Today, salvation has come to this house. What is Jesus talking about? What is the salvation he was talking about? He was talking about himself. He was saying, I came to this house, and this house has accepted me. So salvation is here today. This house, this household has embraced me, has accepted me, therefore has accepted salvation, has accepted eternal life. Remember Jesus Christ says, I am life, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the bread of life, I am the living water, I am the resurrection, I am the gate, I am everything that you need. So why don't you allow me to come into your house? And if you do, then salvation will be in your house. Because he also is a son of Abraham. Notice that why he said this. He also was a son of Abraham. Because those religious leaders that were criticizing, they all say, always say, he is a sinner. We are the children of Abraham. Once Jesus Christ said to them, no, your father is the devil. You are not the sons of Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save those that was lost and need salvation. That's the whole purpose why Jesus went to that house. Because he was seeking what was lost. And Zacchaeus was seeking who was offering him opportunity to have eternal life. Zacchaeus was a Jew. He was rich. He was short. He was a tax collector. He was a chief of tax collector, so he prospered. He was despised. He was lost. He was seeking, and he was saved. Is that your description? In Christ, we all Jew, because the Bible says we are the children of Abraham. Right? Isn't that what the Bible calls you and I? So why are you so afraid when I call you holy ones? Feel comfortable with it, because in eternity, that's the way they're going to call you all the time. Better get used to it. Conversion leads to give. It's very, very clear that sometimes people sometimes say, oh, God changed my life. But they don't give. Conversion leads to give. Each of you must bring a gift that will show how much the Lord your God has blessed you. When we give because we have been blessed. We don't give to be blessed. We give because we are blessed. Don't bargain with God. Don't say, I will return 10%, I will give 15% of the church so God can bless me. God is not in that kind of business. Give because God has given to you. Conversion leads to a new life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And that means redemption. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Conversion leads to a new life. Do the things that are shown. It says, do the things that show you really, that you really have changed your heart and lives. In other words, your actions, the moment that you accept Christ, your actions should be Christ-like. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Why? He was determined. He was driven. He was searching. What did Zacchaeus do? He wanted to see Jesus. He took action. He sought out Jesus. He ran ahead. He climbed into a sycamore tree because it was the only instrument that would put him above the ground, above the cloud. So he used the tree. In other words, do you remember Jesus also climbed the tree so he could see you? He did. What did Zacchaeus do? He listened to Jesus. He came down from the tree quickly. He welcomed Jesus into his home, into his life. He repented and made things right from that moment on in his life. By the way, when the Bible says that he gave half to the poor, you know that Zacchaeus, Nicodemus, they financed the beginning of the Christian church. And many of them end up being killed later on when the persecution started inside of Jerusalem. They gave their lives, they gave their everything that they had, just like the founding fathers of this nation. Many of us celebrate 4th of July, we just make some fire and everything else. Some people go and eat special food. They don't realize that many people paid with their lives so that we have the blessing that we have today. What did Jesus do? He looked up and he wanted to save him. He calls Zacchaeus by his name. He knew what Zacchaeus needed. He encouraged him, come down quickly. You'll be amazed how many times Christ is talking to you, tells you, I know that you're holding yourself too high. Come down. I need you to. Some people, they have so much pride that they look like they are way there. And Jesus Christ says, hey, come down a little bit so I can talk to you. He brought joy to Zacchaeus' life. And he's willing to bring joy to your life. Do you know what the name Zacchaeus means? It looks like almost like coincidence. Literally pure, innocent. Not according to the cloud. Do you remember what the cloud said that he was? Dirty old man or dirty little man, dirty short man. You are a thief. You are a sinner. And yet his name means pure. The righteous one. Literally, that's what his name. And he became one. he was always a good person. But now when he met Jesus, he received the hope of eternal life from Jesus. Colossians 3:2 says, think about these things of heaven, not the things of earth. When you are asked to be faithful to God, don't think too much about, oh, but I need to pay this bill. I need to pay that bill. I need to pay that bill. God, I'm sorry, but you need to be last. If anything left, I'll give it to you. Put God first in your life, and everything else will be in the right place. When we see someone climbing up, here are the things that you must not do. Do not judge them. Do not put them down. Don't ridicule them. When you see someone climbing up, instead do this. Climb up with them. Especially if they want to see Jesus, why not? Let's go. Let's see Jesus together. Encourage them in their journey to see Jesus. Help them. Don't criticize people that do not know the truth the way you do. Use what you know as a blessing. Lift people up with the knowledge that God has granted to you. You are special people. Allow people to become as special as you are. Share the light that you have with them. Jesus is under your tree. Are you out on a limb? He wants to enter your home today. Are you willing to come down? Ask yourself those questions. And lastly, let me say this to you, brothers and sisters. Don't let your possessions. You want to know how this ends? There's one part missing there. Don't let your possessions possess you. God chose you to give. It is by giving that he will give you everything that you need. When you are born as a new Christian, you are not born to take, you are born to give. That's the lesson that this story brings to us today. I hope every one of you will be willing to give. Give all to Jesus. Amen.